This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2018, held in Harrisonburg, Virginia on March 2 and 3.
Good morning to each one. Good to be here at CASPE again, probably one of my favorite annual events that I don't quite always get to. It's a bit nostalgic for me this year. First time back to my home area. Exactly, almost half of my life, again, lived in a different geographic area. And I really appreciated the devotional this morning because God directs us to an exact time and exact place He wants us to serve. And I would have never, are they still needing some?
I believe He's with you.
That'd be fine, yeah. Thanks, Travis. I would have never dreamed that I would have lived in Pennsylvania when I was in my teenage years, coming here to play volleyball games or different things we did here. I did not go to school here. After I lived my first 20 years in this area, but after third grade, I was homeschooled. Fourth grade on, so they built this school after I was began my homeschooling experience, and so never went to school here. As I thought about this subject, and I know y'all are thinking about, probably I hear more comments about how in the world do you get teachers and how do you interview them. And I thought it was just interesting, there's actually a class on, it has that sound to it, how do you find them. But when I came on the board, there was a couple things that I felt inspired me to begin learning about the work of the school. One was that I was homeschooled, and I didn't feel it was a really positive thing for me growing up. I don't reflect negatively on my parents for that. It just didn't, just as I reflected on my schooling, it just didn't feel that positive. So I was really excited about getting my children in a Christian day school. The second thing was, it was probably my personality, but I just had a lot of big goals about working on the school board. And one of them, and you'll grin at this one probably, was that I just wanted to have a school where we get away from this whole thing we're always somehow trying to find a teacher. One of my goals was that soon, just I realized I had to give it up a little bit. But one of my goals was that I wanted to have a kind of a small file of applications already filled out. People that had asked for an application to teach at our school. And they wanted to teach there. And just kind of a running file that I could go to and pull out. Well, you know that's not a reality. But I told the board a couple years ago, I'm actually not a board member right now, I'm a principal. I shouldn't even be teaching this class anymore, I guess. But I told the board about a year or so ago, whenever it was, a year ago, that it was the closest thing to that goal happened in our school. We had a first and second grade teacher for 5 years that told our board chairman that she was quitting. And we were disappointed. She was a great teacher. But she didn't make a lot. She didn't say what she was planning to do. She didn't make a lot over it. And she was moving on. Well, at the same time, we had another teacher quit, and we come to find out she came back to our board and asked for the upper grade position. She wanted to teach. She wanted to change. She wanted to keep teaching at our school, but she wanted to change. And I told the board, I think that'll be the best compliment you can get from your teacher. So I never accumulated a file of applications that I could go to when we had a need, but I thought that was a close second. So today we're going to talk about interviewing prospective teachers. The text verse that we're having here for our class today is, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And this whole chapter is talking about the different gifts, how we all are together working as the body of Christ. God has set some in the church different gifts, thirdly teachers, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? And the answer is no. We're not all gifted in the same way. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show on to you a more excellent way. And then we go into the chapter on charity. Our goal today that I wrote down is somewhat to, and this I was hoping for just a little bit of class discussion. So I put down evaluate and discuss how to effectively hire teachers into our schools who will be compatible with their great assignment and contribute positively to the goals and values of our Christian day school. I'd like to see a raise of hands in this group. How many of y'all have been directly involved in interviewing to hire a teacher? Good. All right. Could you just give me a line of how you felt about the interview? Did it accomplish what you had in mind? Did you feel like you learned much? Or did you feel like it was just a formality that you went through because it's what your school does? Is there any comments you'd like to make about what your experience is?
Time well spent.
Time well spent, okay. Well, you don't have to respond. I was hoping for a few more responses. How many of y'all felt negative about your involvement in a teacher interview? How many of y'all just felt like it was kind of pasty and it was just something you got through that you didn't learn anything? It was just more of a negative thing. How many of y'all felt that way or have felt that way? Well, I'm going to keep my hand up. I did. I felt that way. Until several years ago, a comment was made by, I don't remember which board member anymore, I think I do, but he just said, you know, what's the purpose of these interviews? We're going to hire them anyway. what's the big deal? Why don't we just, if they agree to it, tell them there's your classroom? And that bothered me, and it bothered the board, and we actually went to our, what I call just a pasty interview application for the interview or for the job, and said, we gotta look at this. And so we just tore it apart, and they gave me the job of bringing something back to them, and then they said, well, this looks like I'm trying to be a counselor. So we had to kind of tear it apart again and work at it again. So I had my times where I sat in those interviews and I just felt like, well, I didn't learn much about the person. I don't really know if they're even apt to the job. And we may still struggle with that some just because of how especially we get into lower schools and we need to get somebody. Maybe we're out in an outlying area. But our goal in this class is to talk about ideas and discuss things that are going to help us move away from something that is just get through a formality. That's our goal. We don't have all the answers here. But a Christian day school team and its administration, this is just paramount to me, must walk in faith that God will provide every need for Christian education. How many of y'all talk to fellow school team members that just almost seem desperate to run their ship? I mean, they just can hardly get it done and hard to keep the place staffed and they're running out of money and they're... We must somehow, whether you are running out of money, it's going to happen. Those things are going to happen. We don't close our eyes. We must somehow get to where we view this as a tremendous work of the Lord that we spend time in prayer. We earnestly and fervently do our work. And God's going to provide for our needs. If we don't believe that, then forget it. I'm paying for school twice. Property taxes and what I give to my Christian day school. So why don't I just send it to where I'm already paying for it? And then you say, whoa, no, we wouldn't do that. Well, then let's take this opportunity and say, God's given us something tremendously worthwhile to pursue. Let's do it. God expects those who have received this charge to own their generation's education responsibility. That doesn't mean you just create your own agenda and plow ahead and everybody has to get out of your way. It means that this is my job, and we already heard it today. Tremendous foundational talk to what we're talking about. It is imperative to seek His will and word while giving direction, defining your school culture, and delegating responsibility. So today it's a little bit more about the delegation of responsibility. I'd like your input in these next three, really would. In hearing how y'all do things, this is not about, we have a small school. It's only 30-some students, so we're not hiring. I just talked to a board member the other day. He said he remembers he'd been on the board he was board chairman for maybe 15 to 20 years. It was a long time. One year he remembers, they got to the end of school got to where you were hiring teachers, like about midway through school. And he said one of the elder bishops asked him, "Well, how many teachers are you looking for?" He said, "I didn't say a word, I just went like this. We needed 10. And he said, "I started making phone calls in January and finished up somewhere around July. Now, I have no idea what that would be like. And you're teaching in a school with 2, 3, 4 teachers. And we've had really good continuity that I feel we've been blessed with. But your perspectives vary, your biases vary, and I just want to hear from you on as we work through it. Just a basic outline, and then I've provided just, I tore ours all apart, sort of, and didn't create what you would want to give to a prospective teacher, but created sections to think about that you might want to have in a potential application for teaching at your school. And I just want to talk about those different sections. What's important? Do we have too many things here? Do we need to know everything, all these subjects, when we hire somebody? So we have a need. I don't know if y'all have a need in your schools for teachers next year, if they're all staying, but sometime you're going to have a need for a teacher. And your school board, he said it this morning already, they're going to sit around that table, and it is your job. It's nobody else's. You can't turn to somebody else. There's no subcommittee. It's your job. You go out and you start working at filling those positions. The school board first needs to define the job, the job description. What's the job description? Our school had a tremendous change over the last 10 years in amount of students, and we had different families coming into the school, coming into the church and school. And we also had, for a while, we had families that were there that were not a part of our church. We just had them in our school. And so each year it seemed like we had to almost reevaluate what kind of size classes, how we could have classes that wouldn't overload a teacher. And it was always interesting to me that you had the older folks on the board, a couple older men, and their reflection was the old days when there were 60 students in there, and you're just like, get a life. You're not with the program here. I mean, we don't do that. I mean, you'd never ask anybody today to come in and teach half of this school or 3/4 of it. But we do things differently. So things change and different schools do things differently. Figure out the job description that you're going to have. What will the job be like? And I don't know that there needs to be a lot of discussion on that. But the next one, I'd like to hear from you all, the school board vision. What about the need? What about this teacher need that's come up is going to require you all to think about your vision?
B and C kind of go together with that. The need to hire, how that can fit in with what you already have established and where you're going for.
Your vision and your culture, the school culture that you want, is very much goes together.
I would say, though, if you don't have a vision, you're going to have a hard time creating a culture or outlining a culture.
Right. Is your school have always been used to lady teachers? Small enough that it was always just lady teachers? Is your school big enough that you always had a married man present in the school and was an acting principal? Is your school never had that and always had somebody that was related to the school from the outside as a principal? All these things is your vision, and visions can change. I remember working with the school board when our vision changed to where we wanted to have an in-house principal. And the big thing was, can we pay for it? We wanted it. We knew what our vision was, but we still had to come back to the practicality of our school works off of voluntary giving. We call it tuition. No, we call it suggested donations. But we don't go to you and say, you haven't paid your bill, Barton. Are you going to soon be getting it to us? We just hope that you all have enough vision about Christian education. You're going to pay your debts, and we're going to float this. So as we began to make that transition, I remember long discussions about, this is what we want. We want to move to this. And I remember sitting down with the first brother. He was a young married man. And let's talk about this job. Had the interview. Any other thoughts on school board vision, school culture?
I'm from a real small community, small school. And in our school, the school is run by one congregation, and it's considered kind of just a part of the congregation, but I understand in some other places there might be a school that is several congregations working together. But for us, the vision is directly tied in with the congregation. To complicate that, we've just gone through a church split, which has played out in the school, and the vision is really in turmoil and trying to sort through, okay, teachers, are they on board with the church, are they not? And that's a really comes down to this vision thing. And so we have a complete overhaul of staff next year, which, like your first comment, we're from a rural area, so trying to find somebody willing is the first step, and then, you know, this interview process.
It'll soon become just a formality to make it happen.
Well, and when you put off of people coming from a distance, you know, you have them come for 1,000 miles to interview with, you're not going to hire them anyway. Yeah, it adds a lot of layers to it.
I can understand. I can understand from the, not from a church split, but our church started an outreach, and my vision for school felt like it was getting quite disrupted because we finally had a school big enough and we could start maybe doing some more things than we used to. And all of a sudden, 15 families are no longer going to be a part of that church and school. We got big enough, the church got full. So school boards just face so many different things that change. I don't know if the little church where we go to now, if we'll ever be able to hire and keep long term a married brother. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. It's not something you focus on, but you have to define. And you can have visions that you, and goals that you have to lay down, not goals as in spiritual goals, but you go, well, for now, but we know what our job description is, and we know what our vision is for right now. Maybe we can work towards something. Any other things before we move on? Tied into that is budget and hiring capability. What are your resources? I sat in a finance meeting at one of these events a number of years ago, and it was just from my little small point of view in running school finances, it was just almost cheerful to me because here were these people talking about doing fundraisers in the summertime that was raising $10,000 to $15,000 for the school. These were just sideline activities they did just for the fun of it. Have an auction, raise $10,000 to $15,000 for the school. And our church, we don't even have fundraisers. We don't do fundraisers. So all of a sudden I'm thinking, wow, there's a lot of options out here to get money I hadn't thought about. So what's your resources when you go to hire? What are you working off of? Can you pull it from your people? Are they going to think, there's no way we're going to pay somebody $35,000 a year to teach? If you're going to do that, take me out of my job. I'll get it to you. I mean, what's your culture that you're working with? If you're going to do that, their teacher's going to be getting naked more than I'm making. So you have to think through all that, as you said, as a board. This is before you ever get to interviewing a prospective teacher. You don't go ask a 10-year married brother that you heard is going to quit over at another school and come teach at your school if you know that nobody's going to be willing to pay more than $20,000 to feed his family. You don't go ask him. So that defines it. That was a little bit of an extreme. The search. So we've defined it. We're ready to go out and search. I just put pray 3 times because I wanted to put it 10 times, but I didn't want you all to think of, yeah, what you think. But we need to spend more time in prayer together as a board. Whoever's in charge of that search, and you've sat together, you've talked about it, keep the board updated and say, pray about this. I just called this particular brother. It's looking hopeful. I just called this sister. She's excited about it. I'm excited about it. Could you all just spend time this week in prayer about this? I don't think we ever think enough about the power of prayer. I don't. I'm probably just exposing myself, but prayer is so important in the work of the school. We always begin our board meetings in the past with devotional time of prayer or something. Just write down some prayer requests. What's going on in our school right now is so essential to board meetings and to this particular thing about the search. All right. When you come together at your board meetings and you're ready for the search, I just encourage, oh, this isn't a discussion item there. Every board member needs to come together to the board meetings prepared to discuss the search. Oh, I don't know anybody. I mean, you have to understand, I mean, my frame of reference is this big. Get awake and start learning to know people. I mean, reach out. Who do you work with? Where's your uncles and aunts at? I mean, get awake. We are searching for a teacher, and it's going to have to be a good teacher. This is a Christian day school here. And board chairmen, you're going to have to get that kind of a mentality going with your board. Because this isn't, oh, well, he's got a lot. You know what they said about me a lot? He's got a lot of time on the road. Yeah, I'm a truck driver. So having time on the road doesn't pull people out of this guy. I can call him, but you're going to have to somehow get me, you know. And I can too. I'm going to work at it with you. But let's come together, prepare to discuss this search. Don't take a haphazard look at it. What is the next one? Is what about background checks? This isn't a security thing. That's not what I'm talking about. And of course, that enters in possibly, but the background checks, I'd like to hear from you. What does your boards do before you make a phone call to a person? What do you do?
Call pastors.
Call pastor. Good. Anything else?
Former employers.
Very good.
Check their Facebook page.
Excellent. We do, people do so much on social media that reveal themselves. A lot of people in my peer group use the little WhatsApp thing. I just find it so interesting. I don't even pay attention to status much, but every now and then I check it out. Just interesting to see what people put on status. Guess that's, I don't use Facebook, so maybe that's the same what you're talking about. Very good. Any other thoughts? I like to know before I make a phone call if the person is absolutely not going to be interested in the job. If you can somehow find a connection, it'll tell you that. Probably not the dad. Probably maybe not even the pastor. But maybe you know a friend or a relative and call them up and say, hey, Do you think I would be interested in a teaching position? Do you know him? Oh, yeah, yeah. He's made some comments about it, and nobody's really got... That's a good phone call. But you call somebody up, and I remember doing this a couple times. One time, I called a dad up. So I just didn't know hardly anybody about this boy. So I called the dad, and I knew the dad. Ah, John, please don't call him. I need him in my business so bad. If you don't mind, just don't call him. Well, I was kind of glad I made that phone call. I was disappointed in the dad, but at least I knew that. I always like to, just because you feel like you're going out on a good lead. Proper methods to search. I'm starting to get into that. I want to hear from you. How do you go about it? You come together at board meeting. Let's come up with a scenario. And the board members were thinking. I mean, they each came with two names. So you've got about six names to work through. And maybe you're looking for two teachers. So it's a couple different spectrum here. A younger sister, a younger grade sister teacher. You need an older upper grades, whatever. Do you call six names? All at the same time? Tell them about the job? Call three people, each for the two positions. What do you all do?
Let's start with the best qualified first.
Okay.
Get some feedback from them and if there's any interest in recruiting more.
A couple of years ago, we started something that I think can be helpful. We used another school's application, and we were looking for a young boy teaching fifth and sixth grade classes. We had three or four different names. We send them all an application at the same time. Our intent was that we'd get all the applications back and look at them, decide which one off of that we would ask first. But we only got one application back, so that kind of helped us out in the search.
I like the thought there. In other words, you didn't call, you told them that it was coming, or you just mailed it to them?
They knew that they were going to get it, yes.
Okay.
They all did. Board chairman had called them, made contact with them, and told them that we'd send them one.
Now, did they know that others were getting it?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Interesting. Any other thoughts about how you go about the search? Yes, Neil.
Take notes. You might get it next year.
Okay, take notes. What did this person say about
it? It was very helpful to me this past year.
Good.
I had a young man that was, his father thought he was too young, and I think it looks like he's going to be our teacher here next year.
Good. Yes.
Sometimes you get good references from the other teachers.
Yes, I have done that. And they want a good team player. So, right. Just my own opinion. This isn't a right or wrong thing, probably, but I have not made four or five phone calls, two or three phone calls, and just got people thinking about the job and just wait who's going to call me back first type of approach. What I've done, and the reason for that is I really want to relate to this as a hiring to a position. It's more important than most work positions out there anyway. And I don't want to just look at this like, I'm just going to get the word out to three or four people. Whoever grabs the hook first, got them. I want to look at it as, I'm talking to you about the job. I'm going to need to know soon. Obviously, we're working on filling this position. So I'm going to give you a week. We're going to talk again. Probably don't even give them the option to call me back. Just say, hey, I'll call you in a week. Think about this. Here's what we're looking at. Maybe give them just a few preliminaries about how the school works. I'll call you back or you call me, and by a certain date, we're going to talk. Keep that ball rolling, but don't just make... I've heard all kinds of stories, sitting down at a board meeting looking through your church directories, and whoever's over 18, jot their names down. I just...
We need to pray. We need to be people of faith that God has a brother, a sister out there to fill this position in our school. Let's not just get, and maybe say, well, did you ever experience being desperate? No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I think the most I ever called for a position maybe was two, maybe three. I don't know. But so I've been blessed, just saying. But keep praying. All right, the interview. So we come to the interview. Before we get into the application, I'd just like to talk about a couple things about the interview. What's y'all's input? Who should be present at the interview? Maybe you're in a church school setting where it's already pre-described or predefined how the interview goes. Does the whole school board sit in on an interview? What's the right approach to helping a teacher learn about your school and you learn about them?
We're a small church school, 25 students, four teachers now, but it was usually board chairman, his wife, and another couple from the board.
Okay.
And another board member with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
The whole board's going to have a feel of the Inquisition.
Out of the prospective teacher. I agree with that. What do you expect to accomplish with your interview? And we'll talk about the application that they got before the interview, but what is your goal to accomplish with an interview? Just get a teacher. Or what?
Find out if they're the right person for the job.
That's good.
I guess I'm just related to the board of sector. My daughter just went in for an interview for a job, and one thing that came through is the place of work she was interviewing, I would say, this is who we are. And it gives the teacher or the prospective person a chance to look in and say, can I be a part of it? So I think it can be a two-way. Not only are we seeing, is this person good for us, but it allows the interviewee to say, am I good for that?
Thank you. Very good point. Something I think about. What should the applicant expect to happen? I think you said it both. The proper way it should work is what he just said. I think it's a time where nobody's committed to either way. And you have a chance to sit and reflect on the job, on the position. Is it something that's going to work for me? And will I work for them? Here's one that I'll just share my perspective on this. But when is the prospective teacher hired? In our smaller school, Anabaptist school settings, there's a mentality seems going on that when you get the phone call from a board and you're looking for a school teaching job or you'd be interested in one, when you hang up that phone, the minute your mind switches and you say, I'm going to go work for that school, they hired you. And so you tell your employer, I'll be quitting. You haven't had the interview yet. You haven't even got the application yet, maybe, from the board. But you're moving forward. You're going to go work for so-and-so Mennonite school. I have diligently worked, and I don't know if I've made 3 inches of progress. So just being performance-oriented doesn't mean you get anywhere. But I have specifically, in my conversations with people, tried to militate against that. Otherwise, let's throw the interview out the door. And when you say yes, come work for us. Young lady, young man, whoever. Okay, let me explain to you how we do it here. First of all, if you're interested in the job, I will get you over an application. I'll get you over a copy of our church's constitution and school constitution. Church constitution only if they're not a part of your church already. I want you to look that over, and we'll get back together again in a number of days. And then when you're ready, we'll start talking about the interview. Just so you know, the results of this application and my checking in on the things I found out about this application and the interview must go back to the board before you are hired. And I have tried time and again, just like I told you, and almost in those tones, because I was coming across a little curt there. They just don't get it. I'm hired. I told that school board chairman, I told John I was going to go over there and work for him. So I'll just tell the boss a while. You know, sometime this summer I want to quit. You're not hired. We didn't even have an interview yet. I don't even know if you want us or we want you. And you have to remember, there is a formal motion that's going to have to get passed at a board meeting sometime after that interview that's going to hire you or not. I don't hire you. I work as a servant of this board. Excuse me for getting passionate, but I just get weary of that mentality. It's just like we have cheapened up our teacher positions to the point where people just act like, ah, well, hey, I'll do my term of service sometime. Got a call the other day from the chairman, so I reckon I'll go do it a year or two. It is just so militant against what we desire for our Christian day school teachers, at least from our board's perspective. And we should all work together. Let's go to the sample prospective teacher questionnaire. And I call it a questionnaire, but this one isn't set up as a questionnaire. It's more statements. But out of this, maybe we can learn some things together. Trying to know what time it is. I forget what time my class is supposed to be. Yeah. 11, okay. So I want your all's input on this. This is just a sketch I put down. Somewhat follows what we do. I tore it up enough so I wouldn't have to ask for copyright permission or anything. But somewhere at the beginning, I have an introduction, some kind of an introduction. What do you all feel? How do you want to begin your conversation with this person that you want to hire? What all do you think should be an introduction? We appreciate your interest in teaching in our school. The said school board requests an interview with you for possible employment. Notice the wording. Possible employment in our school. Because of the far-reaching effects of school teaching, we believe that proper attitudes and convictions are essential for success in this field of service. And then fill out your questionnaire. And feel free to ask questions we didn't ask you or you still have about our school. What other things do you want to add? What would be good in starting out an application? Well, if we truly believe a couple sentences that I wrote, which you could write it a number of different ways, then it would seem to me that the first thing we want to do is find out what their Christian experience is about. Do you believe in church membership? Do you believe that we should be a part of the body of Christ? Should we have fruit coming out of our life that says we follow Jesus? How do you find that out? What are some things you want to add?
I'd like to find out about their relationships. I'd like for them to describe their relationship with their parents. And as far as church affiliation, not just what are you affiliated with, but how do you feel about your church?
Mm-hmm. Very good. I like what you said about your relation with your parents.
Sometimes if you ask somebody what's your relationship, and they'll kind of give you a vague picture. But if you ask, what does it look like? Describe what it looks like.
Good.
And I guess I just added this a little bit. I appreciate the emphasis of the employment part there. I think we have cheapened even in our businesses, in our Anabaptist settings, of the hiring process. We don't have good enough structure in our businesses, so therefore we don't have a culture that we go by or we stand up by. We're all the same, you know. And so
very good.
If we come back to like in a proper interview, and yes, I'm aware there's probably somebody here that think that's too professional. I'm a young school board just voted on, moved right up to chairman very quickly, not by my choice. So what do I do? But it's almost like, well, no, that's too professional. We can't do it that way. We can't do it like making sure that we're a fit for them and they're a fit for us. Mm-hmm. So I think those questions, asking what does it look like, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't either. Yeah, and I don't remember. I was actually pretty passionate about making up our new application when we were working at it. I don't remember what all I wrote down, but I just remember the board said, you're taking this way too far. I mean, we're trying to find out stuff about these, but they won't ever work for us. And but I like that because you should be able to tell anybody on the street. The Bible says you should be able to give an answer of what the hope that lies within you. If you can't describe what your Christian life is looking like, then you probably shouldn't be teaching school. I'm telling you, patrons don't have any problem bringing up concerns once the teacher isn't doing their job. Do you know what kind of storybook they're reading? Do you have any idea? I mean, my children are starting to have nightmares. Oh, really? What book is it? I guess we hire them then. Now, how do you get rid of them? Because they don't seem to want to quit. I mean, wait a minute, this whole thing is so backwards. I really like that point that describe what your Christian life looks like. Yes?
I've seen applications for students that attend a Bible school or go to voluntary service, similar questions in some of these things. I don't think these are out of line at all compared to being accepted for a term of Bible school. Or law, far reaching.
Yes.
One of the best indications of future performance is past performance.
Yeah.
And along with what you shared, you know, ask for how they related to an incident where they dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. What was their response? Was it everybody else's fault or did they take responsibility? How did they relate to authority? Give me an example of that. You know, situation where a person in authority told you to do something you didn't really want to do, what was your response? And sometimes they'll try to say, well, I would do this. That's not what I asked. What did you do? Mm-hmm.
How practical have you done that in an interview? You're doing a good job. I'm just racking my brain if I ever did that. That's getting good there. Yeah.
I think a good question to ask too is, what's your hobbies? Just what do you enjoy doing on your time off? And that can give a real glimpse into who they really are. Because who they really are will show up in the classroom. They're, we all talk about our passions.
Mm-hmm.
My happy to be fishing, so we can talk about that for a while now. Yeah. That comes up in the room. You know, I hear from our, you know, sports, you hear from your children coming out of school and whatever it is. They like to hang out and play computer games. That's the world we live in, but you have to find out what their passions are all the time.
Very good. All right. How important is it to you as a school board about what kind of education your prospective teachers have? Is that, should that be important? Well, the first answer is, well, yeah, we want to make sure they know what they're doing in their classroom and they have a good education. But seriously, how involved should we be about finding out the schools they attended, the grades they completed, what kind of reference contact information you can get me? What do y'all feel about that? Yes?
Well, that's a very relevant question. You just said that you were homeschooling yourself, that you saw some value in a traditional school. We're finding increasingly a phenomenon in our schools, I think, where in our search for teachers, we are pulling from the homeschool group, actually, to staff our schools. And a lot of those homeschool students don't have the concept of classroom management.
Mm-hmm.
That they ought to have to be effective. And so in the interview process, I think we're just examining them very carefully. What their level of perception is for how you run a classroom, and what are they willing to commit to in holding a classroom in good discipline and good order. This is something I would want to point out.
Very good.
Something we've talked about as a board a number of times, how it feels like classroom management is more important. How they handle the classroom management is more important than their education.
And a lot of that determines whether they're going to get educated.
We just had a teacher a number of years ago who was teaching high school, had not completed high school himself, but he was an excellent, excellent teacher because he had classroom management down right, and he did that right.
Okay. Okay, moving on. We're about done here. Present employment. I have that down. Not a lot of discussion. Here's a big one to me, and that is your discipline policy. I don't know how much you have written down, school boards, about what you expect out of your teachers in discipline policy. I wrote, actually copied and pasted onto this exact wording that we include. Not only do we include this, these two paragraphs here, but we also have in the application our entire discipline policy. And we ask for you to sign that you will support it. So just not long ago, I'm in a faculty meeting, and the teacher's hanging her head in front of me because she knows all this. And I didn't do my job. And there was nothing to discuss. She checked mark. She said she was going to do this the way we do our discipline policy, and she didn't do it. And I'm not. She's a good teacher. Just she didn't get it done. Said, well, you'll get another chance. And she did. I think it was a day or two later, she texted me and said, well, the deed got done. This happened. We spelled out really specifically what we expect for grades 1-5 and what we expect from 6 and up. And it's very specific, and it's what we're expecting our teachers to follow through with. And I think, back to what our brother just talked about, different biases and perspectives, if you're not okay with it, don't come teach for us, because this is going to be required of you as a teacher. Yes?
How many of you run a demerit system?
How many of you all run a demerit system?
And do you have any problem getting
teachers to enforce them? Okay, there you go. We don't. So raise your hands if you're used to that kind of a system. 1.
Are there other systems that might not be called demerit, but some sort of a point system or
so many marks and
yeah. Does that make a difference on the board?
We have had over the years at our school certain teachers that would employ chalkboard something for a certain particular thing, but we have not had it as a school policy way to do things.
Our school often puts, if they do some kind of infraction, they get their name put on the board, and then they get so many marks under that. Once they achieve, I think it's 3 marks, and there's another, they reach another level of discipline, I should say.
Okay.
That's what I was asking. How many do something like that?
How many of y'all do something like that? All right, a few more hands on that one. Well, don't do it if you're not planning to follow through with it. That's our brother's point. Don't say this is how we're going to do it and then never hold any teacher to it. This is how we're going to do it. And that's the school board slash principal's job to make sure that is taking place. All right. School culture. It's as important, especially if the person is not familiar with your church or school culture. And we go over all that in detail. I've got certain papers that I've used time and time again to try to help people understand how we are a church slash school board. We are under the church. And so the ministry sit in our school board meeting, and if they don't like the direction the school board is taking something, they have authority over the school. And these are like basic things, but it helps the teacher understand this is how it's going to work. And so then, of course, even all the other details. I goofed on this, it's very embarrassing to me, but we hired a teacher from another church group, and I didn't go over all the dress codes with her. And we were about 2 or 3 weeks into school, and the person, I think it was the board or parent or who called me up, said, John, do you realize Sister so-and-so is not wearing the right kind of dresses to school? And I was like, that's my fault. I never told her. So I had to go back to her and say, by the way, yeah. And we had a dialogue. I'll just say that. And she's still teaching for us. So apparently, once in a while, I've scored. But I was very embarrassed. So you need to go over that kind of thing. It's 11 o'clock. Teacher experience and education, go over that kind of thing, I believe is important. If you do, as a board, expect them to be a part of it, I think the expenses ought to be paid. They are your employee. When you send employees off for training and you're a mechanic shop and you're sending people off for training, you're not going to normally doing that out of their own pocket, their employees. So neither should your teacher do the same. So any other questions or thoughts before we...
One question I noticed from your entire interview process, it doesn't seem to be the invitation to have the interviewee say why they think they're a fit for this job, like a little bit of a sales pitch on their own, you know, why they think they're apt for this. Is it because the bar of entry is so low they know they can fall in the ballpark?
That's a good question. Why do you think? Very good. That's a good one to end on. I don't. And I don't know if I've ever asked them. Thanks for teaching me. You are dismissed.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.